24-7, 365, you're in tune to the nation's favorite station.
Radio Bubblegum. Truth will never get spun. I'm the one that sits to about 21. This is Radio Bubblegum.
Stereo America on your FM dial.
We're like the soulless clones of cover versions and mimics. 50-second, 3-minute formulas of nothing killing plagiarism, ageism, musical racism, ghosts written, stars smitten, killing up the musician. Now give them care, reading Radio Bubblegum. No concerns, baby, all are the troubles.
Bubblegum Radio from More Signal, More Noise. That's Asian Dub Foundation, and I'm delighted to welcome to the stage here in Botanic Park, Adelaide, two members of Asian Dub Foundation, Dr. Das. Good morning.
Hello. Morning.
And Chandra Sonic.
Hello.
Let's talk about. Can we go back to the early 90s and when this actually began as part of community music outreach, which you were very much associated with, Dr. Das? What music was in your collective heads at that time?
Very much jungle, drum and, well, before it was called drum and bass. That was pretty much the dominant music. And I was teaching at community music, and this is what my students were bringing in. And we just thought, what is this crazy sound? And it didn't make any sense to me until I heard reggae bass lines coming into it, and then it made complete sense. And a couple of years further on, that kind of became the foundation framework, sonic framework of Asian dub.
Yes, but this was not at the time what you would hear on the radio, was it, or anything like that?
No, it was very much coming out of pirate stations, local stations, out of North London, Tottenham, places like that.
I mean, the ADF sort of sound that sort of developed over the first year was actually an interesting alliance of that very street-level youth explosion that was jungle and, you know, slightly older perspective of myself, Dr. Das, whatever, which was much to do with the heavy dub reggae, also kind of a post-punk sensibility.
Yes.
You know, plus bits of the acid house, and we were very much interested in sort of accessible technology at the time as well. So we, Dr. Das taught it, then I came in and did a bit of teaching of it as well.
Punk made a surprising amount of stuff possible, actually, didn't it? I mean, you know, a really wide range of musical styles.
Punk made that attitude, that DIY aspect, encouraged us to make sounds, but technology actually made those sounds accessible. And that's why we always said technology is our tradition. It's what enabled us to access the sounds of our parents' culture, you know, the classical Indian sounds, the films we saw on the telly. It enabled us to extract those sounds and then apply it to the other aspects that Chandra Sonic mentioned, the dub, the punk and the reggae.
Yes.
The cool thing that we retained, I think, is a very gritty approach to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's still... We like the scratches on the records, you know, and we liked actually maybe less expensive technology, you know, and I don't take the sound of the amp. I like the crackle, you know.
Yes. There's something physical about it, isn't there? You know, it's not too smooth, not too polished. Yeah. It's when you talk about the sounds of your parents' music and indeed of traditional classical music from India, I mean, I had to have it pointed out to me. As soon as it was, I thought, yes, of course, that's a sitar line that's at the top. It doesn't sound like it at first, but it is. It's modal, it's drone-based, it's all of those sorts of things. You're all born in the UK.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about this... Are you searching for something? Are you identifying with something? Are you clinging to something?
Probably a bit of all of those things, I think, actually. Yeah.
Did you say clinging?
Yeah.
I don't know if we're trying to hang on.
Yeah, no, we probably weren't clinging. Yeah.
Right.
No, we like moving.
We're more shaking loose, I think, yeah, than clinging.
Right. But, I mean, Asian Britain is such an important part of Britain today. I mean, it's unthinkable Britain today without the very, very strong Asian influence. I lived in Bradford for mm-hmm. a few years. And so, in a sense, it's kind of... It's mainstream, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like it's a sort of post-Asian sort of Britain, if you like. You know, even the word Asian doesn't really make much sense.
No,
nobody really uses that now. I mean, there's a lot of class division in. You could never really talk about the Asian community anyway. Like everyone likes to and still does. Mm.
It's very diverse, geographically, linguistically, and then. The first stage was to express those things, but what we've seen over the last 20, 30 years, that when all of that has been established, it then enables people to express their class affiliations. So, you know, in the earlier days, it was the Labour Party who gave people more support from those communities. But as time went on, it's different. You've got Asian Tory MPs now.
It's so diverse, and the kind of things we were singing about then it's moved on.
What about the politics of Asian Dub Foundation? When you were here in 2001, I know you were quite outspoken about some things in Australian politics, about the treatment of Indigenous people here, for instance, and indeed treatment of refugees. And I have to say, 15 years on, nothing really has changed. So I suppose the broader question is, much broader question is, what can music do, what can musicians do to change anything?
It depends on the circumstance. People actually ask me this question a lot, like, how does music change? You know, there's ongoing things. It's part of a community. It's part of identification. It's part of education. But there are moments when music comes out and does make a huge difference. Like, I think when the Sex Pistols released God Save the Queen, I remember it. I'm old enough to remember it. And I remember the absolute servility towards the royal family in Britain. And I think that record and its huge success knocked that back a bit. Now, I would give that one example. Now, that's in Britain. But if you go to other countries... Like, and some of the things that people that we've met, like Afro Reggae in Brazil, who do all that work, amazing work in the favelas and stuff like that. Music is part of an ongoing social change, and even more so Tinariwen in Mali, which I was lucky to visit, you know, and see what they were doing. And that was just, they led to social change. Literally, they were a guerrilla army, and they actually created a kind of federal state in Mali, you know, I mean. So it's like there's a whole continuum of it, you know. I think the problem is definitely in Britain, the idea of people listening to musicians or seeing musicians as cultural leaders or even having that idea of music being important enough, that's kind of gone, I think.
Yeah.
You know, or been pushed to the sides.
Chandrasonic, Dr. Das, thank you very much indeed for sitting down with me on today's music show here at WOM Adelaide 2016. We are going to have some live music from a member of Asian Dub Foundation. Nathan is there with his flute, and he's going to play for us.